In Matthew 11, there's this story of Jesus talking to some groups of people from cities who had witnessed and seen his miracles. And he pointed out to them that you have seen these miracles, you have heard the great things of God, yet you refuse to turn to God. And in the same breath, Jesus adds to what he's saying to these people, he says these words, and you'll know them. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Honestly, can you tell me who here is not weary at all? Who is not weary? Who does not need rest? Who feels like their burdens are light? Thank you, Neil. Thank you, Neil. I need to spend more time with you. It's good. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for who you are. Lord, you brought each one of us here this morning, Lord. And we've come, Lord, with an expectation to gather with your people. We've come with an expectation, Lord, to hear your word. Lord, we've come wanting to worship you. And Lord, sometimes when we come to church, we come just hanging on by a thread. Sometimes, Lord, we do feel weary. Sometimes, Lord, we do carry heavy burdens. And Lord, I just ask that you would just open our hearts to hear fresh words from you today. Lord, give us ears to hear and our heart's ability to understand the way that you are pointing us, Lord God. We worship you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there's none like you, Jesus. Will you come, Holy Spirit, and have your way in this place today? Lord, I pray that my words or anything that happens with the person next to us today won't be a distraction from what you have to say to us today. Lord, that our hearts and our minds will be honed in. Even if we've got little kitties sitting at our feet or on our laps and climbing all over us, Lord, we just know that you have a word for us today. And will you come? Come, Holy Spirit. Fill this place. Fill this place. Because we know, Lord, that it's you and you alone that's to be glorified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was 9, I went on a 3-night hiking trip with my mum and my dad. And it was always the deal in our family, once we turned 9, we would go on this hiking trip with our mum and our dad. And it was very exciting. It was an adventure. And as soon as I turned 9, we were off. It was so exciting. I got new shoes to wear. I got to carry a backpack. The bush was beautiful. The sounds, the scenery, the water holes, and we were completely alone the whole time. Bliss. I have memories of camping, of a campfire, of rice arisso for dinner. Who remembers rice arisso? And who remembers bush biscuits? Now, I was speaking to someone about that the other day. Not very many people remember bush biscuits. They were like huge milk arrowroots. They were massive. Bush biscuits, swimming to cool off, waterfalls. Oh, it was such a beautiful, beautiful memory. But then came the trek home, remembering that I'm 9, and it really wasn't that exciting anymore. It was along the same track that we had come in on. And actually, there was one very interesting thing. We had a wild pig go at us, so that was quite interesting. But you know, as you get closer to your destination, the finish line, you get more impatient, or it feels even further far away, further away. And by this point, I had seen a lot of bush, a lot of spear grass, a lot of trees. It was all the same. My new shoes weren't very exciting anymore. My backpack was getting quite heavy, and I was hot, and I did to my parents what I hate my kids doing. Are we nearly there yet? I was tired for sure, but all the things that were around me, things that we were looking at, I had grown familiar with, and I just wasn't so thrilled with it anymore. And I was thinking about that sometimes isn't that like us in our lives? When the daily things that we have to do, the routine things that we do day in, day out, week in, week out, and for each one of us that looks different, sometimes we can find ourselves weary. And it's not a weariness in terms of we're lacking sleep. It's a weariness that comes when day in, day out, we face the same things, the same circumstances, good or bad, with no change, and they start to feel a bit heavy. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens." And I think heavy burdens go hand in hand with weariness sometimes. Can you relate? Heavy burdens make us weary. One of the things that I found on this adventure with my mum and dad was a dead cow with bones. And I actually kept one of its teeth, which I still have at home. Yes, I'm ashamed to admit it. It was like my little token that I took home. But sometimes we can be a bit like that bone, those bones. We find ourselves a little bit dried out. And I'm going to start this morning by looking at Ezekiel 37. Now, if you're really clever and you've got a great memory, some of you will go, didn't Matt talk about Ezekiel 37 a few weeks ago? Well, yes, he did. We've had a conversation. It's okay. I'm not trying to outspeak him. But I think, although I probably do sometimes, but I think this is the word of the Lord for us this morning again. And that's okay. So we're going to read Ezekiel chapter 37 from verse 1. "And the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried up. Then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?' 'Oh, sovereign Lord,' I replied, 'you alone know the answer to that.' And then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I spoke this message just as he told me. And suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves to complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies, but still they had no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds, breathe into these bodies so that they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies, and they all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones, and all hope is gone. our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And when this happens, oh, my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your land. Can you remember this scene? Can you imagine, not remember, can you imagine this scene that God put before Ezekiel? Pretty weird. A valley full of bones. The whole floor was completely covered, and God caused the bones to come together. It's interesting, the bones came together, the right bones for the right body. Like, can you imagine Matthew's thigh bone being joined to Lily's foot bone? Or can you imagine the wrong bones being put together on the wrong body? God perfectly put together from this pile of bones the right bones for the right bodies. And he didn't stop there. He put flesh and muscles and skin on the bones as they were formed on the ground. Then God brought the bodies to life, and they stood up and were like a great army. What was the thing that brought those bodies to life? It was the breath of God. The one thing that could bring about that change, the only thing that could bring about that change, was the breath of God. And he breathed onto the dead bodies and they came to life. The nation of Israel, for the nation of Israel, God was promising his breath. They were dry and weary, and he promised he would put his spirit in them so they could rise again and live again. No longer were they dry without hope, but filled with life again. Did you know that as followers of Jesus, the only answer to our weariness is the breath of God? The breath of God. There is no other way to overcome our weariness. We need his breath to come into us so that we can stand, rise again, and live again. And I love that it's rise again and live again, because it's another time. It's again. It's once more. It means that it's happened before, and it's assumed that it's going to happen again. Once more, another time. Rise again, live again. Have you known the breath of God in your life before? Do you also know bone-numbing weariness? I do. And sometimes we get to a place in our lives where we are really like those dry bones. We're weary with all that we face day to day. And it might not be anything particularly bad, but we are weary. So if the breath of God is the answer to our living, is the answer to our weariness, is the answer to us rising again and living again, what do we mean by the breath of God? And there's a Hebrew word for breath that is ruach. And that word ruach is actually the same word that is used for wind, and it's used for spirit, as in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. In Genesis 1, Ricky read the verse that I was just about to read, and it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the waters, and the Spirit of God, ruach, was hovering over the surface of the waters. The Spirit of God was there in creation, right from the very beginning, always present. And it says in Psalms 139 that I can never escape from your spirit, Ruach. I can never get away from your presence. His spirit, always present, everywhere. In Genesis 8, we know there's a story, it won't be up there this morning, the story of the flood and Noah being on the ark, waiting for the waters to recede after the flood. What does God send? He sends a wind to blow across the earth to dry it. When the Israelites are escaping the Egyptians, what does God do to part the waters, to make a way for them? He sends a strong wind, Ruach, to part the waters. And in Job 33, it says, "For the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of Almighty gives me life." The breath of God, Ruach, brings life wherever it goes. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, gives us life. The Holy Spirit lives in us as believers, and we're hearing Neil speak to the kids this morning. We are the temple where God lives. No longer do we go to the temple to meet with God. We all have full access to God as his temple. And when he's in us, we are moved and encouraged. We have boldness. Our hearts break for what breaks his. The Holy Spirit wakes us up, opens our eyes to a greater understanding and a revelation of Jesus and his message of love and life for us. There's so much that we could unpack about the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:18, Paul says, "Be filled with the Spirit." The "be" here, where it says "be filled," means to keep being filled. Keep being filled. Continually be filled. An ongoing renewal by the Holy Spirit. You know, quite honestly, that is not how I feel most days. I tend to feel more weary with the load and the things that I have to do every day than anything else. And sometimes I don't even feel like I can fully express that weariness. And sometimes it feels heavy. You know, our weariness can leave us completely grounded and disempowered, weak. It can. Sometimes it can slow our growth with Jesus. Sometimes it means that we put half-hearted efforts in the things that God's called us to do. We need the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of today, that's what I want us to walk away with. God wants to refresh us and revive us. He wants to help us. He wants to encourage us, to fill us. And this refreshment is ours today, right now. We don't have to think about it or wait for it. We can expect to be refreshed today, every single one of us. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you're carrying. And maybe you might be thinking, this is not relating to me. And that's okay. But I'm so convinced today that the breath of God is the only way to fight our weariness. And we desperately need the breath of God in our lives. God wants to refresh you today. Maybe you are waiting for something, someone, some breakthrough. God wants to refresh you in that. You know, ongoingly being filled with the Spirit is much as much about growing in our thirst for God and our desire to be filled as much it is the way that we approach the life that God's called us. And so what do I mean by that? Being ongoingly filled with the Spirit also looks like how we approach prayer in our lives, how we approach fellowship with believers, how we approach gathering together on a Sunday morning of worship, of reading the Bible, being in the Word. Do you know something about the Bible? In 2 Timothy, it says that all Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. Ruach. All of the Bible has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. As followers of Jesus, can I say this pointedly? We cannot do life without it. If you have time to eat, you have time to feed on this. Generations will be lost if we do not feed on the Word of God, His God-breathed words. And you're probably going, well, and I am a little bit too, to be honest. But this is important. This, not your phone. Not your phone. If you've got kids at home, get a Bible. Let them see you read the Bible. Read the Bible to them. This is the God-breathed Word of God. God-breathed. It's His words. You know, with the Holy Spirit, we can read a verse 100 times, but it doesn't become familiar or boring or irrelevant. It's powerful every single time you read it. Every single time. If you want a breath of God in your life, get into this. Yeah, sure, it'll tell you and convict you of things that are not right in your life, and that's sometimes hard. Sometimes we don't feel like it. But this is the God-breathed Word of God. Be the one that carries the importance of this into your family for generations. Don't let it be lost. Don't let it be lost. I really feel today that God wants to refresh us as individuals, that God wants to breathe on us afresh. Our circumstances, the things that we are going about in our day, might not change. There might not be an ease in that, but the Holy Spirit wants to come and bring times of refreshing for us here and now, right now. And again and again and again, every day. I also want to be so bold as to say that I really feel today that God wants to refresh Cornerstone. Music team, God wants to refresh you. People who sit doing the sound and doing the projector, God wants to refresh you. If you work in that kitchen and wipe those tables, God wants to refresh you. If you lead a Connect group, God wants to refresh you. If you serve at Food for Life, God wants to refresh you. Matt, Neil, our pastors, God wants to refresh you with his Holy Spirit. And if you're new here, this is your first time and you're going, whoa, God wants to refresh you. He wants to refresh you. People who help with admin for our church, God wants to refresh you. Those of you who come and dutifully vacuum the floors and excellently do the chairs. Perfectly do the chairs. Thank you, because that's not my gifting. God wants to refresh you. People who stay behind and lock up every week, God wants to refresh you. People who set this place up, people who watch the kids out in the playground, people who come into this place, support workers who come to be with our children, God wants to refresh you. If every week you stand at that coffee machine and make the pure gold that gets poured into the cup for all of us, God wants to refresh you. He wants to refresh you. Weary mums and dads, God wants to refresh you. Grandparents, he wants to refresh you. Single people, God wants to refresh you. People whose marriages are struggling, God wants to refresh you. If your marriage is going great, God wants to refresh you. If you're young and if you're old, if you're sick, if you're well, God wants to refresh you. And the question is, will you receive that today? Will that be something that you want for yourself? God wants to breathe on you today and every day, again and again. So that you can do all that you need to do to live again, to have abundance of life, no matter how hard your days are. So, Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to come and move in this room. Lord, we just lay our hearts before you in this quiet moment, and we say, have your way. You know each one of us intimately. You know what we need. We know what we're feeling excited about. You know the things that keep us awake at night. But Lord, together we just sit and we say, we need your refreshing. Holy Spirit, we accept, we take on your refreshing that you are giving us today and every day. Holy Spirit, we want to be refreshed by you. We don't want to just keep carrying on, keep moseying on, keep just managing, Lord. And for some of us, there's long, long journeys, past and continuing on, Lord, but you know them. Holy Spirit, will you breathe on our weariness, on our dry bones, or whatever it is, Lord? Will you come and breathe your spirit so that we can live afresh today? We know your Holy Spirit's work in our lives isn't a one-time event that we can say, yes, I've experienced the Holy Spirit. It's again and again and again. So, Lord, today we receive your refreshing. We receive it.